Good morning and welcome to Manzanita Voices. This is Linda Field. I'm your host, and this is the show for writers and people who love to read writers. Today, we have a lot going on. We have a lot of news about our wine, cheese, and chocolate book, and my guest is Monica Rose. But first, I want to remind you about my website. Please go to my website for any updates that might be there. I go there and work on it from time to time. You can look under show listings to see the archive shows that are on the site. And also I have works in progress, and I have a blog. So I sure would appreciate it if you do that, and then even send me an email, linda@manzamedia.com, and give me any comments you might have. My website is simply manzamedia.com. That's www.manzamedia.com for the website, and linda@manzamedia.com for the email address. Now, I have morning workout, and this is kind of a special one because it is a kind of a kickoff to our discussion today with Monica. It is one of the entries that was sent in for Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate. And we are moving along in the production of that book. We're just doing really well with it. And this is one of the entries. It is probably going to appear in the book, but I'm not going to divulge that information right now. It's by Elaine Faber. It's called The Chocolate Kiss. We quarreled this morning. I threw a cup across the room and it shattered on the hearth. I screamed, "I hate you," and ran out the door. I kicked the tires on my car. I was angry all morning. Every time the phone rang, I was sure he was calling to apologize. Why didn't he call? The afternoon dragged by. At 5 o'clock, I left the office. I was too proud to call him all day. Now the traffic is terrible and I'm anxious to get home. It's not that I'm sorry. He was wrong. But I'm tired of being mad. I want things to be the same between us again. The cars creep along the freeway and I check my watch. He should be home by now, waiting for me, listening to music, drinking a glass of wine. I'm sure he brought me flowers. It has started to rain and the leaves swirl across the highway, gathering on the edge of my windshield. The wipers swish. "Hate you, hate you, hate you," they seem to say. My eyes sting with tears. I reach for the cell phone in my purse and touch instead his gift to me from before, a chocolate candy kiss. I lick the chocolate off my fingers and smile, remembering his words. "It signifies my love," he said. Now I yearn to tell him I'm sorry. Even if he was wrong, I want his arms around me. I want his lips to caress my throat. I want us to be together. His car must be parked in the garage. I know he heard me pull in the driveway, and even now I can almost see him rushing to the door with a glass of wine and flowers in his hands. In a minute, he'll kiss me and whisper, "I'm sorry." I turn the handle. The door is locked. I unlock the door and push it open, calling his name. The room is empty. Where can he be? A gust of wind rushes in, slamming the door behind me. My eyes are drawn to the chocolate candy kiss on the table. A single sheet of paper flutters in the air and settles to the floor. That's The Chocolate Kiss by Elaine Faber. That's one of our entries. And you see, she incorporated the idea of the chocolate and the wine. And that's how you do it, folks. That's how what the directions were. The book is about wine, cheese, and chocolate. You like that, huh, Monica?
I like that. That was very nice.
It was very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, Monica, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Linda. Glad to be here.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Yeah.
Working hard on our book.
That's right. So tell the audience exactly more about what the book, what shape is the book taking? What's it going to be like?
Well, it's a good-sized book. We're looking at anywhere from 150 to 160 pages.
Mm.
It's going to be chock full of...
Chocolate. Chock full of chocolate.
Yes, and wine and cheese and lots of things like that. We have quite a bit of poetry. Probably two-thirds, maybe, of the book will be poems from all across the nation. We've got probably 20 to 25 states represented, which I think is the largest spread we've ever had. And it's really a sophisticated book in some ways, because you've got writers who are writing for literary magazines across the country, and there many of them are professors. And it's just going to be a very sophisticated literary book, but about food and food products, which we don't see that often.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you know, there's some erudite pieces out there, but most of them also have romantic leanings, and so we do have that sub theme going on.
You've got wine and chocolate and some really good cheese, I mean, it just kind of makes you think of romantic setting.
Right, so we took the sensory approach.
Yeah.
We'll have artwork and photography, some beautiful stuff. We've got our cover, which I'm ecstatic about.
Oh, it's a gorgeous cover.
Beautiful, and that's the most difficult thing, is deciding on the cover, you know, that image that has the essence of the work enclosed. And so, and what's really nice is people get to be a part of this book that maybe aren't expecting to be a part. We're going to have 2-inch banners across the bottom of the book featuring wineries and chocolate companies, cheese companies, restaurants and hotels that want to be a part of this.
So these 2-inch banners, they're going to be full color.
Full color. The whole book
gorgeous.
Is full color glossy paper. It's going to be just a beautiful book. And are actually the wineries and those who are receiving the copies will help distribute and help, you know, build a readership for this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great deal. When they get that spread, they get a 2-page spread, and they get 100 books that they can turn around and sell, and they'll actually make quite a bit of money that way. Or they can decide you just sell a few books, make their, you know, the advertising cost, and then give them away as gifts to their clients.
And this was your marketing idea, wasn't it?
Yes.
It's pretty unique.
Well, and it's I like to get the community involved. We'll have local wineries. We'll have wineries from Lodi and all over the valley, Sacramento. And then we're expanding to Napa. And would like, you know, a good California presence.
So the wineries and the chocolatiers, whatever,
they host.
They host the pages, and they design their own artwork.
Correct.
That kind of introduces people to their company or to their product.
And what's going to be fun is putting this together when we get this beautiful spread from the wineries, where they get to choose their most highly artistic photo or artwork that they can use on that banner that goes across the 2 pages, and then they also have their advertising logo and, you know, their information about their winery very elegantly displayed.
Yeah.
And so and they're going to be in there with, of course, other prominent wineries as well.
Well, the mock-ups are really beautiful, and when they bring us their completed work, it's going to be just amazing.
Well,
I can tell.
And then the readings that will happen, the benefits that will come out when we arrange the readings, and they can arrange the readings at their winery when the book comes out.
Yes.
So that's a great event to plan.
That will be fun.
So we're getting excited about that, and some good quality work too. I do have a poem. Would you like to?
Oh yeah, give us a sample of some of the poems.
Let me give you a sample. I'm not going to say we ran a contest. And we have the contest winners, but I'm not going to announce those yet, because we're going to have a big deal surrounding that. But I will read some that will be going into the book, so I'll read one right now.
Okay.
This is called Someplace Even Sweeter by Scott Young.
Mm.
I want to find you waiting for me, stretched out on silky sheets beneath an open window, wrapped in a single layer of moonlight, each curve of your body filled with shadows and expectations. Shall I strip that scrap of moonlight off, let it fall lightly to the floor, so that you shiver just a little beneath the darkened air, the sound of waves outside the window, like breath across your belly? Take my face in your hands when you kiss me, I will say. Open your eyes, look around. We are in a house in the south of somewhere, along the coast. We have good red wine, cheap enough to drink all afternoon, and bread fresh each morning. And time, a lazy, wide river of time, or an endless grassy plain rolling away from us, with maybe mountains beyond and one path meandering toward them. The children, safe somewhere else, loved and happy, having so much fun they've almost forgotten we are here, almost forgotten they have parents at all. I will carve a bar of sweet dark chocolate into thin strips and shavings, then arrange them on your skin. Wait for your beating heart, your rising heat, to melt them into messages, ancient runes, a map that shows the way to some place even sweeter.
Stay tuned for more from Manzanita Voices. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. Monica, that was a really nice poem. And that is definitely going to be in the book.
It will be in the book.
It will be in the book. Okay, well, then I'm not going to leave Elaine Faber hanging in suspense. I'm going to say, Elaine, your story is in the book, too. I'm not going to be mean like that. Okay, so now we're going to get back to a lot more talking about wine, cheese, and chocolate. But first, you, Monica, you have some things that you want to remind everybody about that are coming up with the Gold Rush Writers Conference.
Correct. I wanted to remind everyone that with Gold Rush Writers, you still have time to sign up. There are a couple of workshops that I think I'd like to push because, one, I'm leading one of the workshops it's fiction and poetry writing, actually taking a poet's eye to your fiction.
And Monica's a really good teacher, folks. I've been in some of her workshops, and she is good. You learn a lot from her.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, as a teaching part of my life, but we'll explore methods where you can empower your prose and dig below the surface and find details that will infuse your prose with literary subtext. And so, allusion and metaphor and symbol. We'll be looking at The Secret Life of Bees, taking some passages from Sue Monk Kidd's work and Flannery O'Connor. She's a fantastic writer, and see what she's doing. Steinbeck, believe it or not, Steinbeck had some great methods in Of Mice and Men, of etymological implanting, and then Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness, very turgid and full of metaphor and allusion. So we're going to be looking at those pieces, and so I'll try to bring my poet's experience into it and help out.
That's going to be a really good workshop.
And that workshop is on Gold Rush Writers. I believe it's in the afternoon on Saturday, like at 3:45, I want to say.
And Gold Rush Writers is taking place in McCollumy Hill on May 4, 5, and 6.
Correct.
So yours is going to be on the 5th, Saturday the 5th?
It is, and I'm trying to look exactly when that workshop is.
People can go to the website, goldrushwriters.com, and look at the entire schedule. They can get a thumbnail sketch of all the people who are leading workshops.
Yeah, mine is actually at 10:15 in the morning, and Lou Gonzalez has his workshop on creating the e-book
at the same time,
right afterwards.
Oh,
and
right
then I have I'm in with Kevin Arnold and Kathy Isaac Luke. The three of us are putting on a poetry clinic. That's going to be fantastic.
That is a great team.
And some people maybe they don't want to go to the entire Gold Rush Writers, but they'd like to learn more about poetry and maybe bring their poetry and share it. They're at the clinic, we're going to be giving them an opportunity to do so.
Oh, yeah.
And also find a way to how they're going to market their poetry. What are some alternative ways, like making podcasts, you know, you can actually put up for free, get your poetry out there, put it on your website. So we're going to have a lot of material there to hand out. Also, how to format your manuscript to get it ready for publishing. So we'll have that.
Yeah, and Ed is, Lou Gonzalez is going to be doing that. Is
correct.
Lou with ebook publishing,
yes, and
too.
Lou has a book coming out on how to take your average Word program. Everybody knows Word. They don't have to know HTML to format your ebook. But a lot of people think this is too complicated. You know, it's very difficult. Well, he's giving a workshop at the Gold Rush Writers on how to do just that. And Lou's very good. You'll get a binder with all the important materials. And then when his book comes out, you know, that'll help out as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing an in-depth workshop with Lou in July. So people who attend the workshop and would like, you know, more hands-on, we're doing a six-hour workshop
July
14.
And this is not Gold Rush. This is later. And
this is later. So Lou's going to introduce, you know, the subject matter and get people started.
At Gold Rush.
But an hour and a half or so is really not enough time to learn all the ins and outs. And he'll give you the beginnings and get you fired up. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you're pretty independent in that, you'll be able to actually get your ebook put on Amazon in no time flat.
Yes, and taking his workshop at Gold Rush Writers would give people enough direction
mm-hmm.
that they can be thinking about it and investigating it and learning a little bit more on their own. And then if they come to our Manzanita Writers Press workshop with Lou for 6 hours in July, then they'll have a firmer foundation to start with to
right.
take that workshop.
In fact, the last time we had a workshop with Lou, we had one of our writers, Rachel, she's also on our press, she's
mm-hmm.
a staff member of our press,
uh-huh.
actually put up her book during that workshop.
She did.
Up for sale at Amazon. She had a short story, and she put it up there and was already getting sales the next day. So
that's right.
There,
instantaneous
know,
results.
Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people, actually, in our group benefit from this ebook process. Getty Ambaugh, Sunny Lockwood has her book out as an ebook. Rachel R.C. Yeager with her book about Robin Hood. And my book's going to be put on ebook. Paul Stein, Janet Langton, Jim Lanier, Glenn Wasson, in fact, just had his book, Tales Mark Twain Would Have Loved to Steal, put up as an ebook. And we did a little free promotion on it for a day,
uh-huh.
and he had 4,500 sales. And they gave him royalties on that.
Wow,
so it's
fabulous.
It's a free
Wait a minute,
download.
They gave him royalties
mm-hmm.
on a free book
Correct.
That was given away?
Correct. There was some sort of a promotion deal anyway. So he's made residual sales after that, quite a few.
Yeah.
But to imagine
and
in one day across the globe to have your book downloaded and purchased, even if it's for free, but you have readers by 4,500 people. That is amazing to me.
That really is amazing. And then later, the next day, when his book went back up for
mm-hmm.
sale again,
Correct.
It wasn't going to be free anymore, he sold more copies.
Oh, yeah. He sold quite a few, another 200 or something.
Something about word of mouth.
Something,
yeah.
And then there's a lending library program where you actually get a percentage. You get royalties by having your book borrowed.
And I think I heard that it works out that the author often gets more money if their book is lent in the lending library through the ebook type of thing than if they sold their books.
Right.
And I don't understand any of this, but Lou is the source
Correct.
For all of this information. He is just, he's our gold mine.
He is, and Lou will, Lou's the kind of guy, you know, you've got a project and you need an extra hand with it or help or advice. He's open. You can email him. He'll help you anytime once you're affiliated with him. So people who attend the workshop, make this connection. And if you've got a book in the works, or you are planning one, you're finalizing it, or even if you have maybe two or three short stories that
mm-hmm.
you'd like to bundle up, or a collection of poems, or a collection of essays that you've written, and you think, you know, I'd like to get this out there for people to read, this is the time. We are in a renaissance.
He will teach
publishing.
You how to do it. Well, speaking of getting things out where people can have it exposed to the public, how about another poem?
Okay. Before I do that, I better say one thing before I forget.
Right.
That poetry clinic that I was talking about.
With you and
Luce. With Kathy Isaac Luke.
Kathy Isaac Luke.
And Kevin Arnold from
the
San Jose Poetry Center. He's the head of that center.
Yeah.
And Kathy Isaac Luke writes for the Union Democrat.
Well, she's been a guest on this show, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And her show is very well received by
people.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that clinic, if you just want to attend that clinic and then come for the dinner, there's a banquet that night.
Uh-huh.
And there's also a talk by Kara Black, the mystery writer.
Yeah.
And if you'd like that, and then afterwards there's an open mic where people stay and read their work among the other writers.
Oh, it's a really fun evening.
So if you just want that, you come at 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stay until 11, but it's a $55. It includes the dinner, includes the workshop, includes the speaker, and it includes that evening of reading. So we urge people, if they just want, you know, a little tasty bite of the conference, they can't stay the whole day, you know,
the
both days, the whole weekend. They just want a taste of what, and meet a lot of people. You meet a lot of writers.
It is so much fun to be in the company of writers. Yeah. It really is. And you're just surrounded by people, and the creativity is just bubbling up.
Right. And then Friday night, of course, is the free poetry reading at the McCullough Library.
Oh, at the library.
Yeah,
yeah,
so don't forget. We want everybody to come out and come listen. And it's open mic. There are speakers that are, you know, scheduled. And then after that, it's open mic. So come bring your poetry.
Yeah.
Friday night, it starts at 7 at the Moak Hill Library.
Good.
It'll be a beautiful little event. And then come sign up for the poetry clinic.
Yeah.
And come for dinner and have a nice day.
Okay. Well, let's see.
It's a poem.
Yeah, do you have a short one? Because we've got about 2 minutes.
I do. It's do you want something sensory again and
short.
Sensual?
Yeah. Sensory and sensual is nice for a Sunday morning, yeah.
Uh-huh. This is called Amora.
Okay.
A glass of wine, my love, a nip of cheese on toast. The growl is gone, and now we can make love. That's an epigraph. The candle's lit, the roast waits, the china gleams in expectation. You were to arrive at 6. My gown ripples smooth, skin scented in your favorite musk. My muscles ache in desire. You were to arrive at 6. The clock chimes 6:30. At least you're not early. The roast pops impatiently. My fingers shake. I finger my glass of wine and rearrange the roses. You were to arrive at... The doorbell chimes. You arrive, wrapped in flowers and boxes and bows and a 3-piece suit. Come in. You smell a fresh lime. Your hands warm on mine. The roast waits. The silver shivers. We eat, gown in a rumple, suit on a chair, candle shine, we sample the fare, the roast awaits a simpler fate.
Stay tuned, we'll be back in a few minutes. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices, and Monica, you read such a sultry poem there. I'm going to counter it with one of the prose entries. This one is by a woman named Jan Parker, and she's from North Carolina. And her story, her short, is called The Entree. And this is going in the book. I watch a fellow tonight in coolies. His skin sheens black as a velvet Elvis background, totally silky. Luscious black. His date wears strapless. Strapless dress, strapless bra, strapless shoes. She probably forgot to strap on her panties, unstrapped as she might be feeling. And oh, her dress is red. Cherries in the snow red, hot and startling. Slam you against the wall kind of red. I fall into the study of this woman's shoulders, where she puts them in motion, how she poses one slanted for shadow effect above her breasts, how she decorates the top of her spine with them, in the language of, here I am, come on, how she dips one forward when she laughs at being locked into the what-ifs of her date's ebony eyes. Those eyes daring to look clean through her and make her swoon to the music of his stare and the promise of his tilted chin. It goes on from there, but I'm getting a little warm, so I'm going to... I don't want to give it all away.
Well,
there was a studio audience,
and they're all blushing.
You're blushing. You are red, Linda.
What kind of book are these?
Well, it's a very literary book, Jim.
It's good for Sunday morning.
Any
pictures? Oh, lots of.
We do have pictures.
Yes,
we have art. Lots of high art in this book.
But I have a poem that kind of complements
point,
your
counterpoint,
poem.
Okay, yes. It's your turn.
It is called A Total Eclipse. This is going into the book. It's by Pat Phillips West, who studied in Miami, Carson City, and Las Vegas, and she finally settled in Portland, Oregon. So here she is. It's called Total Eclipse. Suddenly you appear in the kitchen, lift the wooden spoon, wink. Everything needs testing, you say, and ask, you ask, where's the round table? I reply, gone. You kiss my neck, pull me into your arms. Orbs of light with purple fringe circle the room. We waltz. I lean back, look into your eyes, reflect on times when you'd uncork the wine and I'd slice Havarti, Asiago, what was left of a baguette. We'd sit at that oak table, tell how our days went. I'd hand you the first nibble, brush my thumb along your bottom lip. You'd pour the wine, give a small twist, finish without a drip. We float into the living room. Arm on the small of my back, you dip me deep, your knee nudged between my legs. Suddenly, you move back to the kitchen, dance on the table, a slow tango. You walk backward out the window, obscuring the moon.
Very nice. Very nice. Who wrote that one, Monica?
That was Pat Phillips West.
Pat Phillips.
Pat Phillips West.
Okay. Is she local or is she from
Oregon?
From Oregon.
She's in Oregon now.
How nice. Well, I'll have to go you one higher then.
Uh-oh.
One more. And then we'll get back to talking about, you have a list of things you wanted to mention.
Yeah,
we'll
have dueling heartthrobs going.
Yes, we can't stop this now. Mm-mm. This one is called Chocolate of the Goddesses. And it's by Jim Lanier, who lives in this area, and in fact, he's a member of our writers group. Chocolate of the Goddesses. It was another party at Aphrodite's home, the corner of Olympus Boulevard and Zeus Way. Gods from all mythologies attended, attracted by Aphrodite's proclivities. The party started with Zeus putting on a lightning show. Next, a buffet of sacrificed bulls, rams, and goats was offered, along with ambrosia and Olympic quantities of wine. Much later, Thor asked, "Where are the girls?" By this time, the male gods were grouped around the gods-only televiewing pool. They were watching the human women on the Isle of Lesbos, life-sized and in living color and highly defined, besides being obsessively amorous. So it was just by chance that Thor, not the swiftest of gods, noticed the absence of goddesses. "Yes, they've been gone for a while," Ares said, chewing ambrosia. "Someone should go check on them. Mercury, are you still here?" "No, I'm back already," he said. They are in the kitchen eating this." He held up some chocolate. "Eating and moaning. They call it chocolate." "Let me have that," Zeus commanded. He took a chunk and ate it. "'Tis just a snack," he said. "Oh, I know. This must be what the virgin goddesses were asking for." "Oh, they're asking for more than that," Vulcan chuckled. "And that's as far as I'm going to go with that one."
You better stop there.
Better stop there, yes. Okay, so.
Well,
are we playing Can You Top This, or do you want to go back to your list?
I don't think. think I can top that. Jim's got a very strange sense of humor. But I do have one. I have a poem from Bill Keener.
Okay.
And he's Bay Area poet. And this definitely is going in the book. And it is called Taste the Heart of Darkness.
Okay. And he's from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's from the Bay Area, but he's connected with our area. He goes up to Nevada City quite frequently.
Oh, okay.
And up to the foothills.
Okay. Taste the Heart of Darkness.
Taste the Heart of Darkness. In the hall of mountain chocolatiers, I saw the creamy magic. Stared down at giant shining paddles dipping in tandem, churning great vats into a molten brown river flowing beneath me. Smooth, raw, liquid chocolate was pouring into itself, forever folding, beating the hot reek of roasted cocoa and sugar into fragrant air. This extravagant supply, the long-sought source of all that was good and warm and sweet and heavy, in my 12-year-old world, stirred endlessly, hypnotically, as I leaped the railing, cast myself on the viscous rush to float in ecstasy so thick my milk-skinned body was a boat sucked up the dark river back to its beginnings. Up the deep and luscious current of chocolatey mud, through a ferment of tropical aromas to forests of cacao, flowery and dense, steamy ranks, a rain-dripping Eden of rich, ripening beans. Now I stand in line to buy an ebony bar. Tear the paper, tear the foil, hold the treasure on my tongue until the river flows and I swallow darkness slowly once again.
Ooh. I think this is going to be a good book.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh, my goodness,
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
I know. Let's go have some chocolate.
I think I need some chocolate now.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Well, Monica, did we cover everything on your list? Let's see. We talked about the Gold Rush Writers, and we talked about Lou's workshop in July.
Right.
All this information is going to be on my website, folks, too, manzamedia.com.
Right.
So if you forget, just go there.
And while you have your pencil handy, don't forget to go to the Manzanita Writers Press website at manzapress.com. You can find more about the events. You'll find links there to the Gold Rush Writers, in case you forget that, goldrushwriters.com. And lots of information there about publishing and about books that we put out. And I had mentioned Glenn, correct? Glenn's book that
yes.
turned into an e-book?
Yes, stories, tales Mark Twain would have loved to steal.
That is a hilarious poem that's going in the book, in the Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate book by Glenn.
Oh, wonderful.
He's always good for a good chuckle.
Oh, let's hear him.
It's called America, the Land of the Bland. Now, I can't read this like Glenn, you know. He's
Nobody
got
can
the,
read like
no,
Glenn.
No, so I'm going to try to do it some justice.
Okay, I'm sure you will.
It's time we seriously studied cheese, a gourmet snack that one agrees is a familiar taste for one and all, or so 'twas said by Charles de Gaulle. How could one rule this diverse land? Too many tastes one can't command. 300 cheeses quite unique, like Roquefort, Brie, and Pont-l'Evêque. Its usefulness, you must admit, there's 100 ways to relish it. For apple pie, without some cheese, is like a kiss without a squeeze. On salads, you can use a lot of Parmesan and dry ricotta. You'll need 2 pounds to make fondue, but just a bit to season stew. Every country has its cheese. Sakura and Takashi are Japanese. Australian cheese is Gippsland Blue, which ripens in a month or two. In Mexico, you spend your pesos to sample some hot chili quesos. And in the Alps, you'd be remiss to skip Gruyere and Nosh on Swiss. In Denmark, they are prone to party by quaffing beer with their Havarti. Of Romanian cheese, few people know. They curdle milk of the buffalo. How sad it is we seem to lack. On gourmet cheese, we seldom snack. But manufactured cheese so bland, a blot upon our tasteless land. I urge you all to join with me to correct our palate's apathy. We must prevent this gross outrage and permit Velveeta cheese to age.
Velveeta. Okay, we'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. My guest today is Monica Rose.
Can I interrupt you for just a moment?
Sure, Jim.
Just a moment, I'll interrupt you. Monica, why is it that some poems, for the layman here that listens to this show every Sunday, why is it some poems rhyme, like the one you read before the break there of Glenn's, and a lot of his work rhymes. You've seen a lot of his that he writes. But the ones that you two read seem to just maybe flow instead of rhyme. What is the difference between the
modernism?
Is that
modernism?
Yes. Yeah, I think you see a lot of poetry today in the rap kind of a poetry,
mm-hmm.
where you speak your poetry and you've got your stories to tell, and it's loaded, it's overloaded with rhyme, too much rhyme, everything rhymes. And that's, you know, kids kind of tend to like that. They like the idea that there's a sound,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sound
mm-hmm.
pattern. But in sophisticated poetry, modernistic poetry, worked on more the images that were created. And the sounds are still there. They're just embedded. They're usually within the line, and you don't really notice it
mm-hmm.
as much. There are hidden rhyme sounds that you maybe don't notice, like the S sound repeated throughout, you know, your little alliteration.
Because I almost jumped in when you two were reading those and said, there once was a man from Nantucket.
So
I was going to go with that one, but I figured that probably wouldn't fit with the show.
No, it doesn't fit the chocolate theme, but,
no, but the
I think you should. Yeah, well, I think you should write your own, Jim, and submit it.
Back to the show.
Well, but then there are prose poems. Prose poems don't rhyme.
Not necessarily.
They're more like a short or mm-hmm. a story in story form. And I am not a poet, so I'm a little bit ignorant in this. So,
well, you know, the internal rhyme, people don't notice that as much. The poet did, you know, kind of started out by...
But going back to John Donne and...
Yeah,
and
going way back.
I mean, a lot of the poems back then rhymed,
yes,
too.
It's satisfying.
And they had to have a certain rhythm or
right.
meter
oh, yeah.
and a sonnet, for
And William Butler Yeats, for instance,
yeah.
You know, his rhyming words were planned ahead, where he would write along the margins of his poems, and he would come up with all his rhyming words and subject matter, text words that he'd line up and work with. But you don't really... You notice the rhyme, but it's not so overt. It doesn't overpower you. You have also near rhyme, you know, where things kind of rhyme. They sound the same.
Oh, I didn't know you could
mm-hmm,
do that.
I rhyme.
Sometimes when I do try to write poetry, I come up with something
mm-hmm.
that's almost a rhyme, and then I think, oh, no, that's no good. But it's okay.
Like
huh?
vast and gust, okay?
Oh.
So vast and gust. You don't have the vowels that are
yeah.
lining up, but you do have the ST sound.
The ST sound.
Vast and gust.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. That's called near rhyme.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
And Glenn's poetry is doggerel.
Mm-hmm.
He often says it's doggerel,
right.
which it's one of my favorite kinds. I like
fun.
It. It is a lot of fun.
Well, and the bards would come up with the memorization techniques, and rhyme was one of those. It'd help you to memorize your work, and
yeah.
the rhythm, of course, as well.
Yeah.
So it's very satisfying. But end rhyme, maybe we're coming back to it again. You know, musicians use rhyme heavily.
Well, sure, in their lyrics. In song
yeah.
lyrics, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Well, anyway, I loved Glenn's poem. He's always so much fun, and a lot of his doggerel in his book about Mark Twain is really fun. And then he has some little short stories in there too.
But he also has a point behind it. You know, I mean, when you think about what American we have American cheese, but don't we have an exotic cheese?
Oh,
do we have a name?
We do. We have wonderful cheeseries in this country,
yes,
and places that produce marvelous cheese.
Yes, but come up with a name of a cheese besides Velveeta. What?
Tillamook.
Tillamook, and that's American?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay, one.
And up in the Napa area, there's lots of wonderful cheese. And I know back in New York State and Pennsylvania, I remember one time I was just driving in the country and stopped at this cheesery place and bought a bag of cheese curds and ate them, and I was in heaven. I had never had that before.
Well, I think we need to elevate the cheese a little bit more in our county.
We do. Yeah.
We need all the cheese people contacting us and saying, wait
That's
a minute,
right.
we do have an American cheese here.
That's right. We'll publicize your cheese in
That's
our
right.
book.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah, we need to sample it. Along with a glass of wine would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what else did you want to talk about today, Monica?
Well, I think the the workshop I was talking about earlier about polishing and marketing your poetry, that's going to be pretty important for poets who'd like to get their work published. We'll be talking about self-publishing. This is the publishing and marketing your poetry. It's the Poetry Clinic.
And it's at Gold Rush.
At the Gold Rush.
Where they can come, if they only come for that one day, they can get in on that clinic. Stay for dinner and stay for open mic and have a wonderful time.
They need to go to goldrushwriters.com and email Antoinette May and let them know they'd like to come for that and have a dinner. Imagine sitting around with all the writers that coming from all over and having dinner and then listening to Kara Black after the workshop and making good connections, I think, also with the press and other presses that will be
networking is the name of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's going to be good.
Uh-huh.
And I think the Gold Rush Writers, the featured speaker, Kara Black, she's from San Francisco and 3-time Anthony Award-winning nominee for her mystery series, The Murder at Lantern Rouge, that'll be debuted. And she'll be the keynote speaker at that workshop as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing her.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a...
And again, you'll find all that out at goldrushwriters.com, the website.
And we're excited about Lou as well with his book coming out. This is going to be a revolutionary little book. I think he's going to be reasonable. He's going to put it up as an e-book.
This guy worked for NASA. He is no slouch. He has put together, he has done so much investigating and delving into e-book publishing, and he has all kinds of statistics about what the demographics of people who buy the books and everything, and he's gone deep into this, and now he's come out with his own book on the whole subject.
And it's he makes things very easy to understand. Even though he's an engineer, a computer engineer, he's just very down to earth and very clear spoken. You can understand his writing. When he puts this book up, I think it's going to be really reasonable, and he'll probably have some free promotions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's learning how to format your manuscript and how to publish your book online. And he'll tell you, he has another book coming out after that he's working on about the marketing of your e-book on Amazon. And they have all kinds of great deals going on. And really, I think we're in a window of opportunity.
Yes, we are.
Do you remember when we first... got our ATMs and they said, free, you can go everywhere. And then things started to get more complex. Mm-hmm. Everything's free at first, right? Okay. They get you hooked and then you can't
live without it.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't live without it. Well, it's sort of like this window of opportunity for self-publishing.
Yes.
I think as soon as they figure out how to squelch it and how to, maybe charge more, but right now it's basically free to put your book up there.
Mm-hmm.
Free through Amazon.
Wonderful opportunity.
And if you know what you're doing, like for me, Lou helped me with my book, which is a poetry.
And formatting poetry for an e-book is tricky.
It is. And for instance, my font at 12, my lines will line up just fine. I have not very long lines, but if a reader wants to put that font up to, say, a font 14 or 16. I don't know what it is on an e-book. But imagine making your font larger. All of a sudden, your line, it crashes into the next line, and then all of a sudden it's split, and it doesn't look like it would look on a printed page.
Mm.
And so what happens is, and I think Lou was talking about Billy Collins complaining about when they did his e-book for the first time and how it went left flush. So his line would split and go left flush against the margin, and it looked terrible, terrible. You couldn't tell where, the line actually ended and the next line began.
Yeah,
and so your stanzas are messed up, so you have 4-line stanzas, and you want to keep those stanzas intact. Well, that doesn't happen if you change your font.
Well, that might be pretty technical for a lot of people who are listening who maybe don't do poetry, but
everybody's seen, a 4-line stanza.
Yes, when you look at a poem, you expect it to look a certain way.
Right.
And putting it on e-book is very tricky for those reasons you were just talking about. So Lou is the one.
He figured out how to indent it so that when the line does wrap around, it indents. And so you can tell where the line ends, the original line, and where the new one begins.
Wonderful.
And so he's just very good at that, inserting photos and doing things like that.
Yeah.
Because the new look, the new way, we're looking into Vux, which is your video and audio book,
Vux.
A book.
V-O-O-K.
Right. And so what the future is like here, folks, is you're not going to be reading as you were reading in the past. Mm. You're going to be able to click on something that's highlighted inside the text and a video will open up or music will start to come in at your choice. You can turn that off and you can go into adventures, you know, that you can have documentaries linked in. So I think it's sort of like your wiki pages.
Yeah, it'll be like having an encyclopedia attached to the book you're reading. It's
wonderful. And an entertainment
center. You can
do all
kinds of, yeah.
It can be read to you. Uh-huh. You can hear, you know, a full course orchestra coming in.
Yeah.
You know, so books as we know it will be a multimedia experience. Almost, a film, a readable film of some sort.
I just like my old book that I can underline or I can write in the margins and I can fold the corner of the page back to keep my place. I guess I'm kind of old fashioned.
Well, you should.
Hey, I have one more thing to read if you want or do.
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention, I downloaded, I have a Nook, and I downloaded the Publishers Weekly and the New York Times Book Review.
Uh-huh.
When you do that, it's like the book review is like 264 pages. And so I'm clicking through trying to find my place, and if you want to go back, you have to click, go back.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like your iPad where you can just take your finger and swipe and, go back.
Yeah.
So it is frustrating for a reader. You can bookmark, but it's very frustrating. I'd like to just flip through the pages like you do, get to the spot, skim, I'm a skimmer, and find what I want to read. And it's very difficult to do that.
We'll have to learn the whole new technology and a new way of approaching reading a book.
Well, I like the original idea where you have a plastic book with pages, or there's plastic pages or whatever they are, and you could turn the pages and the book will flood into those sheets. So whatever book you have will flood in, so you can actually read the book, turn the pages, but it's electronic. Then you can store the book, and another one will flood in if you want to read it.
That. That's my brain is beginning to cramp, Monica. I can't even imagine anything like that.
Amazing.
But then again, I guess I'm just an old-fashioned kid. Looks like we are out of time.
No.
Yeah, we are.
So much more to talk about.
I was going to read a little bit from David Chestnut about Romeo's big birthday, his 65th birthday, but I didn't get to do it, David. I'm awfully sorry.
You'll have to buy the book.
You'll have to buy Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate to find out about Romeo's 65th birthday.
Better yet, they should be a sponsor. You can be a sponsor for $25. Let us know. Come to our website, mansapress.com. Just let us know you'd like to be a sponsor, and you get a free book.
That's right. Oh, and we would love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So $25, $50, you get a couple of books for $50.
And get your name in the book as a sponsor. And become a friend of Manzanita Writers Press. Because I do say so myself, we are a fabulous organization and we help a lot of writers and we need all the friends we can get because we want to help more.
And we're a nonprofit through the Calaveras County Arts Council. We don't make a lot of money on this. We're a lot
That's
of volunteers
right.
and we'd like to really launch this press and get a name for ourselves, and the Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate will put us on the map.
That's wonderful. And it's all your idea. Thanks, Monica, for being here today.
Thanks.
And telling everybody about the book. And I hope you folks will come back next week and see me again at Manzanita Voices.